You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
We talked about last week how now it had been okay for Denmark and the Netherlands to donate F-16s, I think there's six going in total, to Ukraine. These will not be flown by NATO pilots. They'll be flown by those that have been trained in Ukraine to actually fly those. We remember that if NATO was to come in and do the same sort of thing, that could theoretically start World War III. That being said, what is Russia's reaction to this after the announcement that these planes would be arriving? Let's bring in Arl Brown, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. And here now, Arl, thank you for the time. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
So let's start with that, Arl. What's the difference if NATO comes in with these planes as opposed to they give them to Ukraine, they train up the pilots, and they fly them?
If NATO came in directly, that would be the alliance basically fighting Russia. Russia is no match for the alliance, but the alliance certainly does not want to get into a direct war. That could raise the possibilities of using nuclear weapons, although even that is unlikely because Vladimir Putin understands that that would be suicide, and he is most certainly not suicidal, but the risk would be great. And particularly the Biden administration has been very reluctant to try to provoke Russia in any way. They have slow walked giving armaments to Ukraine. They have blocked the sale of the aircraft for many, many months. We know that Ukraine has been pleading for these aircraft for well over a year. They're only going to start training now. It would take 4 to 6 months to train these pilots, perhaps even more time to train the least 800 mechanics that would be required to maintain these planes. It would be a slow process. But in the longer term, as this war continues, this is the last piece that is necessary for Ukraine to be really effective in recapturing the territories that have been illegally occupied by Russia. Because in order to fight a combined arms war, which they will need to recapture a territory now, they need to have aviation. Combined arms, as we know, is a military concept that calls for a combination and synchronization of tanks, infantry, artillery, engineers, and aviation. And this joint capability then allows the military to seize, occupy, and defend terrain. The Ukrainians have been denied the F-16, and this has left a huge gap in their capabilities.
What about Putin's reaction? Isn't he looking at it the same way, in the sense that does he care who's flying the planes? They're still supplied by those close to NATO or NATO.
He does not want to risk a war with NATO either, so he has been remarkably adept at rationalizing defeat after defeat while he makes the most startling and dire threats. His red lines have not meant very much. He made threats when Finland and Sweden were applying for membership to NATO. He made threats about tanks being delivered, about HIMARS being delivered, about longer range missiles launched from the air were being delivered. So at every turn, he has tried to scare the West, particularly the rather timid Biden administration. He's looking for the wobblies in that administration as well as in Europe, because this is his best hope. But it hasn't worked so far. It's not likely to work in the future. The question is how well Ukraine can move. In the meantime, they're making small gains on the ground. It's very, very difficult. They had the momentum last September, but they were not given the adequate support from the United States in particular. The administration in Washington certainly is afraid of losing the war in Ukraine, especially as Biden is facing re-election next year, but they seem almost as scared of winning. So Putin would play on that fear.
How much use are these F-16s? Six initially. How much use will they be? You said providing obviously cover for what's happening below them. Are they going to have a significant impact?
Eventually, there are supposed to be some like 60 of these aircraft. They're not the latest version of the F-16, but they have had a midlife upgrade. So they not only are able to communicate with each other, but they can communicate really well with ground forces of various types. So this is essential for a combined arms operation. So when you have the full contingent of some like 60 aircraft, and they also have a dispersal capacity, so they will be very difficult to hit. They don't just have to fly from fixed bases. They're equipped with parachutes, so they can land actually on straight stretches of highway. They would have a very important impact in this kind of combined operation that Ukraine hopes to be able to engage in. But it will take quite some time. This will not occur in the next 4 to 6 months. At the earliest, it would probably be the spring of next year. And so this delay has cost Ukraine the ability to take back more territory faster, and it cost Ukraine a great many lives. When they first began the current offensive, we know that because of a lack of adequate air cover, the tanks, including very fine Western tanks, in a small column that the Ukrainians used, were these tanks and armored personnel carriers were very hard hit by Russian aviation, by Russian armored attack helicopters, and Ukraine did not have the aircraft to respond. The F-16s would allow that kind of response, but this should have been done a long time ago. Ukraine ought to have this aircraft now, but for the reluctance of the Biden administration.
How will Putin prepare for this? He knows it's coming.
He is currently throwing everything he has at Ukraine. So it's not as if it's a matter of now he's really going to be angry and is really going to attack Ukraine, because he has had no restraints. There's been no filter. There's been no attempt to avoid any Ukrainian civilian casualties. The best hope that he has is to create divisions among the allies, to create hesitation within elements of the Biden administration that were always too timid to move forward. And short of that, he doesn't have that many options. Perhaps the wisest thing for him would be to negotiate, but he's not going to do that until it's very, very clear that he will be defeated. At that point, he may well negotiate. As I said, it's remarkable how he has been able to rationalize away all sorts of defeats, whether it is the membership by Finland and soon, hopefully, by Sweden, or the more sophisticated armaments such as Leopard 2 tanks, Leopard 1 tanks, HIMARS, Storm Shadow missiles from Britain. And so I think we can count on Vladimir Putin to reach an agreement that will try to save his regime if he feels that he is definitely losing the war. But at the moment, he appears to be convinced that time is on his side, because we hear these kind of statements coming from some diplomats and others who would like to negotiate now, would like to have a ceasefire. And if you get a ceasefire right now, that would be a huge victory for him.
Harald Brown with us, professor of international relations, senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto. F-16s on their way to Ukraine. Harald, as always, thanks for the time. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.